25 principle, 75% revival, and just 25% dealing with everyday things. The key is revival, end time revival. Well, praise God, praise God. Well, Lord bless you today. Good to see everyone. Amen. Mom and I are so proud. Amen. Of your pastor and his good wife. And we are so proud of you. True, tried, proven apostolic saints. Oh, hallelujah. Out of the book of Romans today, before we're seated, Romans 13 and 7. Romans 13 and 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now, I want to teach a little while on the subject of dealing with honor. Honor is esteem. It is to revere. It is to have reverence or to defer to place value, to regard, or to respect. Now, in this scripture in Romans, the scripture tells us, and in God's word, it's saying to us to have respect and to give reverence to those entitled to it. Now, we live in a dysfunctional world. We live in an undisciplined world. We live in an uncontrolled world. We live in an unmanaged world. We see it from every area, from adults all the way down to kids. Amen. Undisciplined, dysfunctional, uncontrolled, and unmanageable in every area. Now, the reason our world is messed up, and the reason there is violence, and it prevails, and the reason rebellion is rampant in the world that we live in is the wholesale disrespect for authority. The lack of submission on every level and the contempt and disregard for those who are over them, be it parents, be it law, be it the school, be it on the job, at work. Now, I need to say that again because some of you didn't get what I was saying. You think that this is the way it ought to be. Honey, this ain't the way the world ought to be. Something happened somewhere down the boulevard. Something happened until now our world is full of undisciplined, absolutely dysfunctional people that is basically that no one has control over them, and they are totally unmanageable. Parents can't manage them. The law can't manage them. At the school, they can't manage them. On the job, you can't manage them because of the wholesale disrespect for authority. Too many of our church problems come from the same source. Amen. Am I in the right place today? Too many of our church problems come from the same source. The source that basically is prevalent in the world is creeping into the church. And that is the total disrespect for authority. Those that are over them, those that are in control, those that are a level above them. They have basically, I see it in churches. Amen. I see it wherever I go. I see it in the adults. I see it in the kids. Amen. It would be fine, I guess, if it stayed out there on the boulevard in the world. But honey, it alarms me when I see it in the church. And I see things that shouldn't be in the church. That tells me somebody's got to start preaching about it. Somebody's got to start talking about it. Somebody's got to start doing something about it. You may be seated. I am thankful today, amen, that the military, and be it the Army, Navy, Marines, whatever, they still require and demand respect to authority. Thank God for that segment of our life. Where that when you go in there, you realize there is somebody over me, and I have to learn how to salute. I have to learn how to say, sir. I have to learn how to obey rules. Amen. Without question, without arguing, I don't think I want to march today. Honey, you don't got no choice when it's military. You're going to march when they say march. You're going to get up when they... Hey, let me tell you something. The military has it, and it works. I said it works. Amen. You go into a courthouse. Amen. You do not disrespect the courthouse. You do not disrespect the judge. When the judge walks in, the bailiff says, would everyone arise? And you stand up, and you do not be seated until the judge is seated. He makes sure that there is discipline in his court. And violators will be charged with contempt of court. The word contempt means to disrespect, to dishonor. The judge says, I'm not going to allow disrespect. I'm not going to allow dishonor. It's not going to be in here. Amen. And he does this to maintain order in his court. If anybody in the court was allowed to do what anybody wanted to do, there would be total confusion in the court. People would be stepping in and out. People would be talking. People would be doing like they want to do. But the judge says, you will not do this. Amen. If you do not silence, I will charge you with contempt and you will be punished. The reason he does that is because he wants order in his court. He wants it. He demands it. Now let me tell you, the loss of order brings the loss of peace and the loss of quiet and the loss of calmness and the loss of harmony and the loss of control. Let me just throw this in here. That's why we got to have order in the church. We don't want to lose the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's why we don't want to, come on now, that's why we don't want to have disorder in the church, because we want that calming, sweet presence of God to come down. Hey, let me tell you, God don't operate where renegades are. God wants order in His church. Let everything be done decently and in order. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody clap your hands. Hey, if you like what's been going on here, the peace of God, clap your hands. If you like the calmness of God's presence and the lack of turmoil, clap your hands. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Read for me, son. Proverbs 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, the fear or the reverence or the respect is the beginning of wisdom. Everybody say it starts at the top. You got to understand, the God that is in control, the God that holds our lives and our well-being in His hand. Amen. The God that has control of whether I am blessed or whether I am cursed. The God that has control whether things go right and things go wrong. He said, now if you want to get smart, He said you start respecting.
and you start having a little reverence.
So it starts at the top, and then it starts from there down to every level of authority that is below it. It begins with him, and it extends from him on down to every level of authority. From the man to the woman to the children. From the God of heaven to the pastor to the people. There are levels of authority in our life. The problem with the world we live in, they don't respect authority anywhere. Whether it's in the world or whether it's in the church, they do not recognize nor do they see it. To them it's annoyance. To them it's problems. But God said, you want to get smart, start having respect for me and then bring it on down. Now, the fear or the reverence or the respect is the beginning of wisdom. You know, a lot of times, if you're going to do what you need to do and be what God wants you to be, you got to find out what God likes and what God dislikes. It was said of one man, and he was taken. It said he had this testimony that he pleased God. So he's looking around in an uncivil world, and he says, I'm going to start doing some things that pleases God. Now, you got to understand, if God don't like something, we are fools at any level in this chain of command. We are fools to ignore it. Now, the scripture tells me, amen, number 16 and verse 2,
and they rose up before Moses.
And they rose up before Moses.
With certain of the children of Israel.
Okay. With certain of the children of Israel.
250 princes of the assembly.
Right.
Famous in the congregation.
Uh-huh.
Men of renown.
Okay.
And they gathered themselves together against Moses.
I want you to notice now, they gathered themselves. Let me say this to you. Rebellion breeds rebellion. Discontent breeds discontent. Disrespect breeds disrespect.
Yes, it does.
For whatever reason, in his level and plateau of walking with God, Korah stepped out from where he was supposed to be and stepped into another realm. The damage was done this way. When he stepped out, others stepped out with him. It wasn't enough for him to be disrespectful. It wasn't enough for him to say in the face of Moses, who do you think you are?
Come on.
Who put you in your position? I got an answer for Korah. God did. God put him there. God put him there. And you are dealing with danger, sir.
Come on.
You are really dealing with danger when you buck against authority, especially God's authority. You in dire trouble. And so we find that they withstood him to his face.
And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron,
uh-huh,
and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord.
Come on. You got to understand something. That act of disrespect brought the anger of God. It brought out the judgment of God to such a degree that it said that the ground opened up. After their warnings, you're going to be in trouble. You better step away. It said, nah, we're in this together. And so they stood their ground, and God said, now. He opened up the ground, and it totally, totally swallowed them and their families. And then it closed back up. Now that tells me in real strong terms, brethren, God don't like disrespect. I don't know whether Korah got so familiar that he felt like he could say things. I don't know whether he got so close to working with Moses and Aaron, because it said they were in the flow of things, that they felt that they could just cross into a boundary and set and tear down what God had set up. But God said, that ain't going to go. Somebody's going to be in trouble. And so we find this happened to the whole kit and caboodle because of disrespect. Now, let me just say this to you. And I'm going to cover from A to Z today. I'm going to cover all levels here today. Because too many times in preaching, people say, boy, that sure got old Joe Fennell today. Boy. That sure got old Gunsmoke Loki. Gunslinger. He was so upset that I left that he shot himself. Yeah, the one-handed wonder. You gotta... You know, and so you don't sit here today and say, my kids are that way. I want to present it in a positive manner so that everybody understands that you fall under this category of the responsibility of respect. I don't care who you are, how long you've been in church, where you are, honey, what you own, what you have, what you do, what you don't do, male, female, honey. There is a plan that God has for the church. And if we're going to stay this lean, mean, spiritual machine, we got to get this concept. Hey, I can talk about more prayer. I can talk about more worship. I can talk about running the aisles. I can talk about giving in the offering and knocking on doors. But if disrespect remains in our lives, we are doomed. So my choice of it is, get disrespect out. Get it out of our lives. Get it out of our homes. Get it out of our kids. Get it out of ourselves. And let's have revival before he comes back. Come on now. Amen. You may be seated. Now, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23 reads, son.
And he went up from thence.
Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Read it for me, Pastor.
I was son before I was pastor.
This is respect.
All right. And he went up from thence. Let me read it then. And he went up from thence into Bethel. As he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, Brother Eric. No. Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 children of them.
God does not allow disrespect out of your children. God does not allow disrespect. I don't care if you're just a baby. Amen. You need respect in your life, sweetheart. If you're just an infant, you need respect in your life. Amen. It was evident somebody did not teach them children how to respect an adult, let alone a man of God. right now. I'm gonna go low, and then I'm gonna come high. You may be seated. Matthew 15:4.
For God commanded, say.
For God commanded.
Honor thy father and mother.
Honor thy father and mother.
And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death.
Let him think it's cute. Let him think it's comical.
Yeah, okay.
Let him just say, oh. I was preaching here the other day, and I was preaching in, well, I was preaching this the other day, too. And there was a saying, well, one parent said, boys will be boys. No matter how disrespectful they were, no matter how whatever you want to call obnoxious or how pushy they were, his answer was, boys will be boys. Now the Bible tells me that because these kids don't honor their mother and father, God said, I don't think it's cute. I don't think boys need to be boys. He said, let them die the death. That's strong. So God don't think your kids are cute. It begins at home. From the babies right on up. Okay? Proverbs 13:23.
He that spareth his rod hateth his son.
So here we go. I told you I was going low. In the beginning, in the home, starting it out in the very beginning, it is your responsibility to make sure these kids obey and respect.
All right. Come on.
Now notice what it said. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him, what?
Chasteneth him.
He beats the fire out of him.
Many times.
A bunch of times.
All right.
He just beats the fire out of them. When they now let me say this to you. The other day when I preached this, I forgot to add an equation. And then I had to go back and rescue the kids. Yeah. I told them, when they disrespect you, the scripture says beat the fire out of them. So I got word one of these brothers, and he did. He worked on the case, and the kid needed, and he worked on him again. I said, oh, brother, let me give you the rest of the scripture. I said, I'll tell you what you need to do with that boy. You need to love that boy. You need to put your arms around that boy and kiss that boy and hold that boy. It's a little old guy. This little dude. You need to tell him you love him. You need to tell him you're proud of him. And I said, you need to take time with him and spend time with him and make sure he knows that his dad loves him with all of his heart and loves him with everything. And then let him know, I love you, son, but I'm not putting up with your stuff. I said, it'll balance it out. It'll take it into another level. Love them and discipline them, and they will make good saints. What we need is parents loving their kids and caring for their kids, but also disciplining their kids. Notice Proverbs 22:6. I'm hurrying.
Train up a child in the way he should go, When he is old, he will not depart from it.
If you train them right,
all right,
they'll do right. Come on now, train him up in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll still stay living for God. Notice 22 and 15.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child.
Now, foolishness is in a child. I don't care who your kids are. Amen. They're children. Okay. The Bible recognizes children for being what they are. They're children. That's why they gave them a mom and a dad. Notice what it said.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child.
It's in a child.
But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
But the rod of correction shall what? Drive it far from him. 23 and 13.
Withhold not correction from the child.
Now withhold not correction from the child. Don't hold back. Don't be like, well, I don't want to be hard on my little baby.
All right.
Withhold not correction from the child.
See? For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die.
For if you wear him out, he may think he's dying, and you need to let him think he's dying, but he shall not die. Read.
Thou shalt beat him with the rod.
Thou shalt beat him with the rod.
And shall deliver his soul from hell.
And you're going to deliver his soul from hell.
All right.
You're going to deliver your child from hell. You mamas, listen to me. We're talking about revival, end time revival in Landmark. We're talking about a generation that's coming up. We're talking about young people that's going to make saints, that's going to sit and have babies in the same pews that you're sitting on now. And when you think you're not whipping that child, you're not making that child mind that you're easy on that child. No, you're not. You're sending them to hell and you're giving your pastor a job that's impossible to deal with because you will not do what the Word of God says to do. It said, don't withhold the rod on the child. Amen. Now, read me Proverbs 29:15.
The rod and reproof give wisdom.
The rod and reproof give wisdom.
But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
But a child that's left to himself and not disciplined. I'm going to add this little part. I'll just give a little paraphrase. When they get 18, they'll spit in your face. That if you leave him to himself and you don't discipline the child, you don't take charge of what God gave you charge over, this child is going to bring you shame, mama. Proverbs 29:17.
Correct thy son. And he shall give thee rest.
Now listen to me. I'm tired of going in Pentecostal churches and hear parents say, I don't know what to do with her. I just can't do nothing with her. No matter what I do, they just do what they want to do, and I can't control them.
All right?
That is bunk.
Come on.
I've never seen a kid I couldn't control. You got to understand something. You want rest in your home? You want peace in your home? Are you tired of fighting and hassling? Let me give you an answer. Correct them. And you will have rest in your home.
Yeah.
You'll have peace in your home.
All right. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul.
And you'll be happy with the little devil. I mean the little child. You'll be happy with her. Well, I know some of you with me. I ain't sure about all of you. chickens. You know, God speaks sometimes in nature. Chickens. Chickens have a pecking order. Every chicken pen has the head chicken and the next chicken and the next chicken and the next chicken. Every chicken pen has a pecking order. And God created all nature, and yet out of this, these chickens, and it said, I read this article and it said, every level submits to the level that is above them. Every level. In other words, if there's 100 chickens, you've got the top chicken, and then you'll have another layer, and those will be in subjection to the top chicken, and then there'll be those below them that are in subjection to the level above them, and vice versa, all the way down to the poor little old chicken that's on the bottom. But there are levels, and it's called pecking order, and the lower level submits. The message in this is the lower level submits to the one that is higher. Read up on wolves. And it talks about how they operate in a chain of command. The alpha male, I believe it is. The alpha female. Then you have the beta, I believe it is. The beta. And then you have the omega. The beginning, the end. Their success and their life, their eating and living in such harsh conditions depends upon every level staying in every level and doing what they're supposed to do at that level. I'm preaching now to levels. This is how they do it. I mean, this is it happens because nature talks to us. Now, I didn't write it down, but somewhere in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, talks about the ant. And ants, in their multitudes and multitudes of numbers, they're everywhere. And I did a study on them, and the ants operates in a similar fashion. You have the queen, and then you have the workers, and then you have, and that scripture said, they're smart enough without the bishop to come preach to them on a Sunday afternoon to know their place and operate in that place. It said they don't have a leader. They don't have anybody, but it's just something that says, if this anthill is going to survive, then I've got to stay and do what I've been designed to do. If this anthill is going to survive, I've got to be what I'm supposed to be and stay in that. I'm not a worker. I'm this one. I'm not the queen bee. I'm not that. But I know that I am something in this anthill, and I'm going to stay in that position to make sure. I have been up here down there for a few days, just long enough to get my memory back. Because we have not been inundated up here in the Tennessee area, only in a few areas. But there is something called a fire ant. And there are mounds. They bring your memory back quick. When you go into that fire ant mound, you hurt, they coming to you. They defend the queen ant that's laying in eggs. they defend that hill. They really come out. They lay their life on the line. Honey, they'll do whatever. They come out. You kick an anthill. You better pull your foot back, because if you leave it there, you're going to have them crawling up your pant leg. Amen. And let me tell you, honey, they're going to chomp down in just short order. Because what they're saying is, I will not let anybody or anything destroy this queen bee or this mound that I'm in. I'll lay down my life if I've got to, but I'm not going to let nothing invade this place. I studied up a little bit on bees. And they do basically the same thing. These bees, they have the queen bee, and then they have the worker bees, and they have those that fly and get back, and the drone bee, and everybody functions in a manner that it presents a sweet situation. Honey, sweetness comes out of the fact that every one of them know their position, and they stay in that position, and they work together, and they won't let anything mess with the beehive. They say, if you're coming to get the queen bee, you've got to come through me. They come out in droves, and they say, you will not mess with this hive, nor will you mess with this queen bee. Now, let me say this to you. You have a mandate to protect this pulpit. You have a mandate from God. God didn't put you in this church just to sit back and relax and enjoy the preaching. God put you here that puts you in a position. Devil, if you think you're going to get to my pastor and this pulpit, you got to go through the Jones family. You got to go through the Shuck family. You got to go through the Fennell family. You got to go through... Oh, come on. You got to go through the Roll family. But listen to me. Just remain standing. I'm about through. All who do not submit, I don't care what level, it can be the child to the parent, it can be the wife to the husband, or the man to the pastor, or in our case, the ministry to the Almighty. When you, as a small child, throw your fit, do your thing, and you as a mama stand back and go, oh, they're cute. No, 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 no. What you're doing is you're letting spirits come into your life, which will let spirits come into the church. We'll let spirits come against this pulpit. Honey, you got to make up your mind. I don't care what level I am in this situation. Nothing gets to my pastor. Nothing gets to this pulpit. Nothing gets to this church. Whatever I've got to do, I ain't opening to no doors by disrespect. I ain't letting no spirits in by disrespect. We need submitting saints. Let me break it down. We need submitting children. I'm fixing to go back to Georgia. I'll be back up here sometime soon. Not sure how soon, but I will be back. You got a job cut out for you. In your home. God gave me this to give to you. I just practice on another church. The beehive... The beehive has got to be protected. The anthill has got to be protected. And whatever they have to do, they do it. This church, can't you listen to me? You think that the devil thinks it's okay for you to have revival like you're having and a move of God like you're having? He's going to come against your beehive. He's going to come against your anthill. He's going to come against your pulpit and your man of God. And the only thing I found out, singing ain't going to stop him. Come on now. What's going to stop this move is this marching arm lock, arm in arm, family by family. I'm not talking about divided families. I'm talking about united families. I'm not talking about divided homes. I'm talking about united homes that join in. Hey! And come to this place in one mind and one accord where there is no schism between mom and dad. Where there is no schism between mom and dad. Where there is no schism between mom and dad. There is no division between parents and children. I charge you in the Holy Ghost. You bring your children under submission. Children are born with foolishness. And it's up to the parent to drive the foolishness from them. You have an authority over you, sister. It is your husband. I didn't get an amen from the women. But I got Bible that says your husband is over you. So you have a job to make sure your children are under submission to you. And you are under your husband. Just like you're going to have to take a strong hand against your children, you're going to have to take a strong hand against your own will. Y'all heard some of this preaching over there. I started to tell him, give me some of that offering because you done got some of my notes. Abraham called her... Sarah called Abraham Lord. Remember? Even though he wasn't perfect. But there's something about respect. Hold on. I'm talking about deeper than you smile. Deeper than you praise God. Deeper than that's okay, Rev. That's okay, Rev. There's a lot of people that smile and say, that's okay, Rev. But they have not submitted to authority. I'm talking about altar, tear, weeping, crying at her altar. It says, that's my husband. And the men saying, that's my pastor. Because I'll tell you, he's saying to the Lord, you're my God. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm preaching the unsure thing of revival carrying and going in this church. Amen. And that is bring divine order. Keep divine order in this church. Close up the gaps. The devil's going to shoot through where he can get through. And the devil's going to come through your children if you let him. He'll come through you as a wife. If you let him, he'll come through you as a man if you will let him. But if you will close the gap and make up the hedge and get together. Come on now. Revival is a sure thing. I said, who wants revival in this place? It's a sure thing. Lord bless you.